Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Chapter 3, chapters entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Today we're covering text 39. Andeshi Peshi Shu Sarut Yavi Nish Pikeshu.
Andeshi Peshi
Prano mi jivam upadavati tatra tatra.
Prano mi jivam upadavati tatra tatra.
Sane yad indriya gane hamin cha prasukte.
Sane yad indriya gane hamin cha prasukte.
Kutasta asayam ritekad anusmitina. Andeshu peshishu purushya vinish chiteshu.
Andeshu peshishu purushya vinish chiteshu.
Rano hi jivam upadavati tatra tatra.
Rano hi jivam upadavati tatra tatra.
Sane yad indriya gane hami cha prishukte. Kutasta asayam mitetad anusmitina.
Kutasta asayam mitetad anusmitina.
Please chant. Vaishnavis. Andeshu.
Andeshu.
in species of life born from eggs.
Pei
Shi Shu, in embryos. Charu Shu, in plants. Avini Shi Pei Shu, in species of indeterminate origin. Born from perspiration. Prana, the vital air. He, indeed. Jivam, the soul. Upadavati, follows. Tatra, from one species to another. Rane, they are merged. Yat, when. Indriyagane, all the senses. Ahami, the false ego. Cha, also. Prasupte, in deep sleep. Kutasta, unchanging. Ashayam, the subtle covering of contaminated consciousness. The Linga Sharira. The Te, without. Tat, of that. Anushmiti, there is subsequent remembrance. Na, are. Translation and purport by the followers of the Savangri Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami and Sri Prabhupada. The spirit soul is born in many different species of life within the material world. Some species are born from eggs, others from embryos, others from the seeds of plants and trees, and others from perspiration. But in all species of life, the prana or vital air remains unchanging and follows the spirit soul from one body to another. Similarly, the spirit soul is eternally the same despite its material condition of life. We have practical experience of this. When we are absorbed in deep sleep without dreaming, the material senses become inactive. And even the mind and false ego are merged into a dormant condition. But although the senses, mind, and false ego are inactive, one remembers upon waking that he, the soul, was peacefully sleeping. When a living entity is awake, the material senses and mind are constantly active. Similarly, when one is sleeping, the false ego recollects one's waking experiences, and thus one experiences dreams or fragments of dreams while sleeping. But in the state of prasupti, or deep sleep, both the mind and the senses become inactive, and the false ego does not recall previous experiences or desires. Thank you. Okay. Good. Thank you. The subtle mind and false ego are called Linga Sharira, or the subtle material body. The Linga Sharira is experienced in the form of temporary material designations, such as I am a rich man, I am a strong man, I am black, I am white, I am American, I am Chinese. The sum total of one's illusory conceptions of oneself is called Ahankara, or false ego. And due to this illusory conception of life, the living entity transmigrates from one species of life to another, as clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita. The spirit soul, however, does not change its constitutional position of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Although the soul may temporarily forget the disposition. Poseidon is analogous. Okay. Let's see. Cite an analogous situation. If one dreams at night that he's walking in the forest, such a dream does not change one's actual position of lying in bed within his apartment. As it is stated in this verse, Kutasta Ashayam Mute. Despite the transformations of the subtle body, the spirit soul does not change. Sridhar Swami has given the following example to illustrate this point. Vidavantam kalam sukham aham ashvaksham apaksham na kinchid avedisham. One often thinks I'm sleeping very peacefully, although I'm not dreaming or aware of anything. It can be logically understood that one cannot remember something of which he had no experience. Therefore, since one remembers peacefully sleeping, although there was no mental or sensual experience, such a memory should be understood to be a vague experience of the spirit soul. Srila Madhvacharya has explained that the demigods, who are a superior race of human entities in the higher planetary systems of the universe, do not actually undergo the gross ignorance of deep sleep as do ordinary human beings. Because the demigods have superior intelligence, they are not merged into ignorance at the time of sleeping. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Atashmitir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Sleep is apohanam, or forgetfulness. Sometimes by dreaming, there is smriti, or memory of one's actual condition. Although in a dream, one may experience one's family or friends in an altered illusory state. But all such conditions of remembering and forgetting are due to the presence of the super soul within the heart. By the mercy of the super soul, one can have a preliminary glimpse of the soul by remembering how one was peacefully resting, even without mental or sensual experience. According to the authorized commentaries in this verse, Avinishchiteshu means Swetajeshu or born from perspiration. Srila Madhvacharya has pointed out Bhusvadena hi prayo jayanti. The earth's dew is to be considered the perspiration of the earth, and various species of life are generated from dew. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.9, the situation of the soul in relation to prana is explained. Eshor nor atma chetasa vidityo yasmin prana panchada samvivesha pranaishchitam sarvam utam prajanam yasmin vishudhe vibhavati yesha atma. The soul is atomic in size and can be perceived by perfect intelligence. The atomic soul is floating in the five kinds of air, prana, apana, jnana, samana, and udana. The soul is situated within the heart and it spreads its influence all over the body of the embodied living entities. When the soul is purified from the contamination of five kinds of material air, its spiritual influence is exhibited. Thus, in the innumerable species of life, the spirit soul remains situated within prana, or the material life there. Andeshu peshishu parushi abhinish chitteshu prano hi jivam upadavanti tatra tatra sane yad indriya gane hami cha prasukte kutasta ashayam ute tad anushkiti. The spirit soul is born in many different species of life within the material world. Some species are born from eggs, others from embryos, others from the seeds of plants and trees, and others from perspiration. But in all species of life, the prana or vital air remains unchanging and follows the spirit soul from one body to another. Similarly, the spirit soul is eternally the same despite its material condition of life. We have practical experience of this. When we are absorbed in deep sleep without dreaming, the material senses become inactive. Even the mind and false ego are merged into a dormant condition. But although the senses, mind, and false ego are inactive, one remembers upon waking that he, the soul, was peacefully sleeping. Om Gyanam Samaram Dasya Gyanam Dhanam Shalakaya Chakshur Nitam Gyanam Tashmaya Shri Guru Vey Namaha. So we are continuing this discussion. This is which of the Navi Yogendras is speaking here? Papayalayana? Is that how you can say it? Papayalayana. This I kind of feel like cracking a joke here. This is a Bhagavatam class that's guaranteed to put everyone to sleep. The reason I say that, this is really deep in Gyan. We've been covering, aspects of how we become realized by the process of Uttama Bhakti, but this is all about Gyan. And so usually we get the proof of the soul from Gyan. And this is what Jnana's all about, to realize you're not your body and that you're an eternal entity. So here in this verse, and there's an expansion on it in the purport, is a little bit different practical understanding than I've ever heard of how we can realize that we're the soul. The most common practical way to realize you're not the soul is given I broke my glasses, so everything's kind of like lopsided. Can't really see straight. In Bhagavad Gita 6:17 is a famous verse. Avinasi tutadvidhi gena sarvamidam tatam. Vinasham avyavyasyasya natyaschit kartam arhati. That which pervades the entire body, one should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says that any layman can understand that the material body minus consciousness is a dead body. Duh. Okay? So, and this consciousness cannot be revived in the body by any means of material administration. Therefore, consciousness is not due to any amount of material contamination, but to the spiritual soul. This is how we have some evidence that who we are. This is one proof that's given, real practical. Prabhupada, in a lecture in London in 73, he describes, this is on this verse, Bhagavad Gita 2:17. Formerly, all the verses, they were more or less theoretical. Dehino smenyata dehe komaram yoganam jara. This may be taken theoretical. Less intelligent can understand that there's a soul within the body. But here it is explained very clearly. Avinasi tutad vidhi. That thing which is spread all over the body. Avinasi tutad vidhi tad. That of avinasi is imperishable. So what is spread all over the body? Consciousness. But that's the proof of that we're something other than our body. And it's a pretty difficult one for the scientists to refute. I mean, I'm sure they're trying, and they probably have got their theories of how it all works. But nevertheless, that's what Bhagavad Gita gives us. Now here's a little bit different understanding that may be a little difficult for, it was difficult for, I had to go through it about 10 times before I kind of got what's the point. Now deep sleep, this is deep sleep, what is it? It's sushupti. This is deep sleep. There's wakefulness, there's sleep with dreams, and then there's deep sleep. So there's no experience of, you don't recollect any kind of sensual or material awareness that takes place. And anybody asleep yet? Okay, come on, we're challenging you now. See if my prediction comes true. Okay, so similarly the spirit, I'm reading from the purport. Similarly the spirit soul is eternally the same despite its material condition of life. We have practical experience of this. What's this practical experience of what? This is the continuity of the identity of the soul. So there's practical experience of this. And this is what is described by this analogy of deep sleep. When we are absorbed in deep sleep without dreaming, the material senses become inactive. And even the mind and false ego are merged into a dormant condition. Blank. Blanked out. But although senses, mind, and false ego are inactive, one remembers upon waking that he, the soul, was peacefully sleeping. So there's some recognition of a continuity of identity as the soul. There's an awareness of that. Does that make sense to anybody? No? Okay, so
When you put under, you're getting an operation. When you come out of that, the one thing you remember is that you were peacefully under.
Right. Interestingly enough, I consulted with one of the foremost experts on Bhagavatam in our movement by listening to a class with Burijan Prabhu. And he said, according to Sankhya Shastras, that this, what's the Sanskrit again for deep sleep? Sushupti. Sushupti. This is, that according to Shankhya Shastras, the subtle body, and he says, the soul actually goes into Vishnu. Okay? And I don't know his references. I just was listening to him. I'm sure he's got them, but he didn't cite them. And it's also likened to Sayuja Mukti. It's the same experience as Sayuja Mukti. Got it? Sayuja Mukti means to, this is the one of the five types of liberation that the Vaishnava does not aspire for, to merge into the Brahman effulgence. Okay, so just remember, next time you wake up from a deep sleep, that's what it's like, to merge into the Brahmajyoti. All right, now there's another interesting, I'm going to read, this is a Bhagavatam class. Has anybody fallen asleep yet? I keep making the jokes, and this seems to be effective at keeping you awake. Okay, so this is a 75 Bhagavatam class, Bombay, Bhagavatam 3.26.40. Our death means sleeping for 7 months. That's what death is all, it's the same state of consciousness. That is the description we get from the Shastras. Just like you go and sleep every night. So death means to sleep for 7 months unconscious, very deep sleep in the womb of the mother. Then as soon as another body is grown up, by the ingredients supplied by the mother's, by mother's body or nature, then we get back again consciousness. Just like when we sleep deeply, there's no consciousness. There is consciousness. This is called sushupti, unconscious. And again, as soon as the body is complete, then we get back our consciousness. Then we become in sleepy condition. Then again, when we come out of the mother's abdomen, that is an awakening state. Okay, so actually, we do not die. Jayate, Niyate, Vakadachi. There's no question of death. It is simply sleeping in deep sleep like that. Okay, so now, so that this sense of continuity, you know, that something happened and I got the same identity, is there, even though it just kind of is a blank out. But when you wake up from deep sleep, how do you feel? Feel great, right? I mean, it's a lot better than when you have a nightmare. So it's like a whole refreshing, and it's a powerful experience. You kind of wish, oh, why don't I go back to sleep? And, you know, it's just like you're merged into the Brahma Jyoti. So you can't remember anything about that, but then the soul is aware that he was deeply sleeping. So this is the essence of the analogy. Now there's a little more depth in that's given by Banaswami in his translation of this purport, and also of his translation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So he says, when the senses in ahamkara cease to function in deep sleep, the fixed atma alone remains. He just stripped out. It's just the soul. That's why you get this understanding. It's just like it is being merged into the Brahman effulgence. This analogy is also proof, is given to support that when you go into the Brahman Jyoti, you don't lose your identity. And then you'll eventually come back down. Okay, so let's see. In deep sleep, the senses stop functioning, and identity of I, along with ahamkara, disappears. Okay, so it's not there anymore. The unchanging atma, kutastha, remains. Why? Because it is without the covering of the subtle body, because of no covering, which will cause change. Okay, so it's that you're just down to the Atma platform. How does the Atma remain perceptible? We, as the witness of deep sleep, have awareness of happiness devoid of particular knowledge. So you're happy. It was a really good sleep. You wake up and, oh man, I feel great. But you don't have any recollection of what was going on when your senses, your mind, your hankara is all switched off. But yet you're still aware that that was going on. You were in an unconscious state. Okay, so then you're thinking, I slept for that much time happily and didn't know anything. In this statement, there is an awareness of Atma and deep sleep because of no memory of non-existence. But because of no relationship with physical objects, the memory is not clear. Anybody asleep? Amazing. It really works. Humor is a very powerful tool. When one does not see the world, one sees the Atma. This is from the Brihad Anurag Aranyaka Upanishad, which is a translation. When one does not see the world, one sees the Atma, which should be seen. There's no destruction of the Atma seen. Okay, so you still have this capacity of consciousness. even though you're unconscious, you're conscious of your identity in this deep sleeping state. Okay, got it? Everyone fully satisfied, understands it completely? Forgot much, you're shaking your head. You want to say something? Okay, give her the mic, quick. So everyone falls asleep. Wouldn't it be amazing if everyone fell into a deep sleep now? That would be the potency of this Bhagavatam class. Demonstrated.
No, this is a very interesting topic because every one of us sleep every day. And how it's being compared to, when you mentioned Burijan Prabhu, did he say, or what you were quoting, that we merge with Vishnu when we sleep?
That's what he said.
And then is it going into the Brahma Jyoti, or is it compared to?
It's the same experience that one has when it goes into the Brahma Jyoti. It's complete absence of senses,
okay,
mind, ahankara. Yeah. Subtle body.
Subtle. Where does the subtle body go?
It's just shut down. When you go into the Brahma Jyoti, I don't know. Ask Divyanga, he'll know. Wait a minute, Prabhu. Slow down, cool off. He's citing Sankhya Shastra. Okay, I don't know specifically. I don't think it's the Pila Day, but anyway, somewhere out there, this is the understanding. I don't think he would have said it unless he knew. Okay, anybody else? Are you all finished with Gatmaka? You're fully dissatisfied?
My question is, do all living entities go through what you're saying, go with the soul merging into Vishnu, or is it those who desire to have that?
You know what I got to do? I got to write to Bridget and get back to you on that one. Because I don't know. But at least at the time of death, you know, this is a comparable experience. We can you go along with that, Divyanga Prabhu? Yeah, you haven't died recently. Okay. Okay, so, but at least, you know, there's a comparable level of consciousness. This is Prabhupada saying this. Comparable level of consciousness, deep sleep, and 7 months between bodies. Before you come out of the womb, consciousness starts awakening, you start kicking the ma, kicking around in there, right? Any women have any practical experience with that? Yeah, okay. Hari Prayana he's going to shed light on all of this and we'll be out of darkness for the rest of the day.
So I was just thinking that the reason that, I'm just guessing, the reason for Vishnu mentioning Vishnu is that Vishnu is sleeping, shete sma, that's the way he's described in the first canto. Mahavishnu, when he's described, he's sleeping in the ocean. And so, you know, this person's soul is also sleeping. So I think it's an analogy. I don't think, because to merge into Vishnu or to merge into Brahman, that's a transcendental destination that is only accomplished, you know, the great endeavor. It's not, it doesn't happen when you just sleep.
There's a consciousness called Turiya, which is the fourth consciousness. We've got wakefulness, dreamy sleep, deep sleep, and Turiya, which is the transcendental realm. And it seems that that takes place, from what I understand, this verse from the Mundaka Upanishad, is that when we're purified of the five material airs, pranas. And now, here's a question for Keshava. Okay, so if the five pranas accompany unchanging through all of the transmigrations, then in order to achieve Turiya, that has to be
fully purified, those material life errors have to be gone. But then sometimes you see prana as the life force, and it is equated to the soul. Okay, so could you kindly clarify all this for us, Keshava Prabhu? He's a great jnani. Not many people know, but he is.
You need Burijan Prabhu for that.
I got to write Burijan about that one too? Okay. Did you have something you wanted to say before I picked on you? You forgot. You're so traumatized, right? Okay. Any other points? Yes, Prabhu.
Seems like when you're in a dreaming state, the subtle body, you'll be aware of leaving the body, having a dream, coming back. Now, in the explained deep sleep, the body is like, you know, the senses aren't moving, just inert. It seems like there would be even better time for the subtle body to, you know, leave, because...
Okay, I'm missing something. Keep the mic right close to him. An old man don't hear so well. Could you just repeat a little bit there?
Sorry. All of that?
Yeah, why don't you do the whole
How
thing?
About just the last part? The body's like inert, and like you said, deep sleep.
Okay.
That seemed like an even better time. The person wouldn't be disturbed because of, you know, lack of flapping around. The senses wouldn't be, you know.
Okay, I missed the last part again. You sent it about disturbed and flopping around. I just can't hear it. I'd be glad to.
But you said the senses are inactive.
Okay, keep your mic right there, Bubba.
Okay. You said because the senses are inactive at that time.
The senses are inactive at what time? In deep sleep? Yeah.
Deep sleep.
Everything's shut down. That's the definition of Sushupti. Everything's shut down. False ego, mind, senses, there's no interface with the material world according to this understanding that's being given. The only thing you're doing is sleeping. It's an unconscious state. Okay. Did I answer the question? What was the question? Okay, was it all right? All right, it wasn't perfect, but
okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Another conception or one understanding is that the jiva, when one is in deep sleep, the jiva resides in the subtle body. Sometimes when one is dreaming, the jiva and the subtle body travels out of the body. The jiva, the soul, and the subtle body travels out of the physical body and is experiences what you call a dream. But the subtle body is still connected to the body, because the subtle body could stretch if you want. You know, it can move as. Because remember, mind, for example, is you can be here and send the mind all the way to the spiritual world or to the heavenly planet or whatever. Mind is part of the subtle body. So when one is dreaming, the jiva along with the subtle body can travel. But again, the subtle body is still connected to the body, so the body still gets consciousness and is able to breathe and stuff like that.
Okay, but wait. The one thing, though, is that you're talking about dreamy sleep. And this is Sushupti, which is deep sleep. And then there's a shutdown. It's compared to period of unconsciousness, the seven-month period between bodies. Prabhupada compares that. I've read that. Okay. So, but one thing is that the subtle body does this, like, there's some... 15, 8, and 9, there's a description of how just as aroma is carried by the wind, so when the soul goes to its next body, it carries its subtle body with it. And then the mind has senses grouped around it. So then you have a particular type, like you got a pig body, You got a human body, you got a dog body, and so there's different kind of things depending upon yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, kalevram, you know, the time of death, the consciousness. And that, of course, is predicated by the activities and consciousness throughout life. Whatever we're preparing for the final lesson here. Okay?
So, yeah, but we were, okay, and but coming back to the deep sleep thing, you were saying, deep sleep, there is no movement of the subtle body. You're just in there in deep consciousness. And you said Burjan says that the soul is merged into Mahavishnu or into Vishnu.
Enters Vishnu. That's the exact word. He said the subtle body or the soul merges into Vishnu. He didn't elaborate. I haven't listened to the question answer section, so maybe I can.
It could also be, I mean, in one sense, the devatas reside in the body too, right? In some way, in a subtle way. So Vishnu is also part there, and that means that it could reside within Vishnu. You see?
We really have an exciting class.
Let me skip this. Let me go to a more practical part. It states that there's four types of birth. One is two seeds, one is two embryo, one is two seeds, embryo, perspiration, but the perspiration one is not clear there.
That's the dew.
So seed, embryo, what was the other one?
Dew. And the
No, no, no. Dew means the perspiration, but we find that there's some species like plants. They just comes out from sprout, you know, like you take a piece of a stem and put it in the soil. It grows. That's not seed or that's not embryo. And then you have some, like the earthworm can cut in two, right? And divide and then form two other worms, you know? So even though it's said perspiration there, but it means other form. You know, if you go back to the translation, the explanation, it says other forms, but then in
other forms,
parentheses, it says perspiration. Yeah, check it out.
What was the origin? Species of indeterminate origin.
Seed, no. Yeah.
Born from perspiration.
So seed is one. Eggs, embryo, and then the other one, in parentheses it says perspiration, but it's perspiration can be limited, but there are many, many other forms of birth there. Like I said, like shoot, like cell division, like, you know, there's some species where from the skin. You know, I mean, so there's so many other forms.
Okay, good.
Just one second. So
should we stop while we're behind? Or?
There is a question. There is a question from Swaha Mataji.
Now they're going to probably start throwing tomatoes at me. Okay. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Let me read this question. I got to go in 2 minutes. But right. So this is from Swaha Mataji on my phone.
Okay.
And she's saying, Hare Krishna Prabhu. I guess it was for me. Ask, 7 months of sleep would apply only to a human birth?
Nice.
7 months of sleep, does it apply only to a human birth or does it apply to lower births like amoeba?
Well, I think it has to do with the gestation period too, because there's 9 months of, it's shorter for someone that has, for a jiva that's headed for a different kind of body. So it's species specific, right? How'd I do? Hi, Prana. Was it gonna...
Well, on one hand, you know, we're trying to make sense out of these things based on a limited pool of experience. So, you know, we got to give this whole discussion a little grain of salt. But in my opinion, my limited experience, my opinion. But hey, Trivikram is bringing up some stuff here. It says some species are born of eggs. It does not say every last species is born in these categories. It's saying some are born of eggs, others of embryos, etc. So it's kind of leaving it a little open there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it kind of leaves the discussion open. It's not like this is... Well, perspiration, even if you use perspiration, you know, even if you use the word perspiration, I mean, like, single cell organisms divide in this, like, nutrient-laden moisture kind of an environment. I mean, you know, what could, you know, perspiration could be broadened, you know, perspiration is pretty ideal for a single cell. You know, we're playing with it. So I think the larger issue is, this is a big topic, and it could be all kinds of considerations that are just not on our radar at the moment.
Okay, Madam Mati is going to answer all of everyone's questions. So, just please, Shanti, Shanti.
That's yeah. Right, I will answer all the questions. I'm going to go beyond all this and tell that how Krishna uses dreams for his devotees. I was just reading that how we have so many material desires accumulated in our consciousness, in our mind. And what Krishna does sometimes, this reference is 4:29:69, that Krishna sometimes he shows the devotee in one dream all the desires that it may be from the past or for the future. He shows the devotees all his desires in a dream. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, that's interesting, he comments, he says, it's just like Mother Yashoda, she saw all the universe and everything in Krishna's mouth. So similarly, Krishna shows all our dreams because so that we don't take another body in our next life. So that's a conclusion of your dream class, Prabhu.
Then doesn't Prabhupada describe that as that Krishna reveals the negative form of our material desires, something like that, if you use that phraseology?
He doesn't specifically use those words in that particular purport, but I have heard him say that. Okay. But yeah, but that's how he uses it. Krishna uses
it. It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, a wake-up call
really
in our dream.
You're really contaminated, you better get serious and chant good rounds.
Yeah, but he specifically does this because the devotee does not take another body.
That's right.
And because he does not take another body and Krishna has to fulfill all the desires, that's him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He fulfills all the desires in many, many, many lifetimes. But for a devotee, he just shows it in one dream.
I see. It's kind of a replacement.
Yeah.
Lifetime, so take it now.
Exactly, so that you don't have to take another body.
She's too much absorbed in Susupti. We got the answer. Okay, here we go. Pushkar to the rescue. Hare Krishna. Everyone listen.
It's in the Bhagavatam also. What was it? 4:29, right? 4:29 chapter, what's the verse? Number 2? Yeah. Right, I'm going to read the Sanskrit for those who are aficionados. Adrishtam drishtavan nangshed bhutam swapna vad anyata bhutam bhavad bhavishyatcha bhutam bhavadu means past, present, and future. Suptam, this or that, susuptam, sava raho raha. So raho raha means the secret conclusion. So this verse says, everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. 4:29 to be, or not to be. Everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature.
Jayo. Shrila Prabhupada ki jayo.
So I wouldn't worry about, you know, whether or not we're dreaming. Everything says here that raho raha, the secret understanding. Yeah, you talk to the machine.
based on experience.